visualize this. I brought a little pendant, which is a wooden version of the Tai Chi. Pretend to yourself that this Tai Chi is the weak force. This holds together the core of the basis of things. The second is a American Indian spiritual symbol. This nice little large version of a cowrie shell. This symbolically can be said to present to your attention the strong force, what holds atomic structure together. This is the interior of the nucleus in the Tai Chi and the cowrie shell, the atomic structure. That the Tao is the Tao doesn't detract from the Medi Wiwen ceremony at all. In fact, if one did the Medi Wiwen fully conscious, one would get the Tao of it. That's what the medicine in the medicine ceremony is. So they go together. It's just that this is inside this and can only be separated differentially symbolically. The weak force and the strong force naturally express themselves in an electromagnetic realm, symbolized by this little Vajra bell. This particular one doesn't have a ringer in it. I don't need a ringer. But it symbolizes the electromagnetic energy. What happened in 1977 with Steven Weinberg and a couple of other physicists? It was a worldwide kind of a confab. Three or four different races of individuals worked together on it. Was that the Tai Chi and the Vajra Bell were seen to work together. Were understood that that's how they work together. Look at that. We can understand that. What was missing was, well then, this fits in too. The strong also fits in, but just how? Was not understood in 1977 by nobody. Better grammar, by anybody. Back to nobody. Nobody knew. But the spirit knew that it's got to go into one hand. But the realization was that it's not going into one hand. The mind is stretched to its ultimate in getting these together. It takes two hands to bring all three of these together. It's a mode of prayer. Understand? In the 1990s, it's no longer possible to step forward in science without having a spiritual practice consciously about it. That's what's different. That's what's different. If you go to someone working on the vanguard of any science now, you get a very eerie, feeling tone. In fact, you don't even have to go to just the people. You can take yourself on an experience, which any of you and all of you could do. Go over and walk around in a kind of Satipatthana way on the Caltech campus or the JPL facility. You know what tone that you'll experience there? It's an old, archaic, monastic tone. the flavor of the place. The inner place of quietness is called a monastery. That's where the term monastery and monastic came from. It's the inner place of quiet. You'll feel that unmistakable tone, that's what's happening here. That human beings are praying in a very efficacious way. By the activities that they're doing, it's a form of prayer. And it leaves that tone. You can't mistake it. The undercurrent of that tone is not the outer tone of it is a kind of a super calm somberness, but the undercurrent is that of gaiety, spiritual gaiety. It's not like we're having fun. That's irrelevant. It's like spiritual gaiety. When the great 1940s journalist Louis Fisher went to visit Mahatma Gandhi and spent a couple weeks with him, he was stunned by the fact that there was the spiritual gaiety to the Gandhian community of people. And he searched around to try and find some analog in his Western experience, and he said, Louis Fisher said, the only thing I can compare it to is the reports of people being around St. Francis of Assisi. That his asceticness had a tone of spiritual gaiety to it. Yes, there's Our Lady poverty, but one is wedded to her. And that's what St. Francis meant. It's not at all a shunting away from anything, but it's an embracing the eerie allness of life and committing one's love to that. That's what's happening. That's what's happening right now in the vanguard of science. That's why the world is loosening up and changing. The nuclear nightmare is dissolving into morning light. Let's come back. Let's make our way to the fourth paragraph again. This is the fourth time. My Blackfoot family always say you should do things that are really important four times. Never complete it. And never complete it the second time around, and don't even complete it the third time around, the fourth time around. Then one can go forward. In the Okan, all the moving joints of the Sundance ceremony have to be done four times. Activities within episodic sections can be done just as they are, but when you come to the moving joints to move to another episodic quantity, then one has to do it, make the motion to do it four times, and only on the fourth time can one then initiate a new episode. It's a way, primordially, of respecting the true way that energy moves. Energy doesn't move in a straight line. Natural energy is wild like lightning. It moves in these jags. The jags and the lightning are a clue. Straight lines lead you to illusion in nature. Did someone say there are no straight lines in nature? I think someone at one time, I don't remember who. Someone said that. Montaigne? I don't know. I don't recall. So the fourth time to the fourth paragraph. At the same time, a new theory for the strong force, modeled on the same concept of force-carrying particles, made great headway. This was based on a new property known as color, which is analogous to electric charge. In other words, the strong force is a color force, according to the theory known as quantum chromodynamics. Chromo, not from chromosomes, but from color. Chromodynamics, quantum chromodynamics. Quarks carry color and are bound together by particles called gluons, which mediate the color force. You can see the origin of the term gluons. Dare I say, stick to gnomes. In addition, there was a growing conviction that quarks and leptons occurred in pairs. Back. Quarks and leptons occurred in pairs. In the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu says, at the deepest core of what can be named is the pairing. That's the mother of all. The pairingness is the mother of all. The pairingness is feminine. It's unmistakable. Anywhere, anywhere, it's feminine. Is that a social projection because one is enamored of women? No. Even a woman, in that concentration and clarity, senses this is feminine. The pairingness. Quarks and leptons occurred in pairs, and that three pairs of each occurred in nature, suggesting six quarks and six leptons in all. Notice that if you have two pairs, you get a quaternary. What happens when you get three pairs? When you get three pairs, you get a trigonometric relationality. You get a sphere. Two pairs give you the mandala on the page. Three pairs give you the sphere. Lifts life off the page into itself. Notice that you can write three pairs or you can write two triads. They have equivalence in symbolic veracity. You can write three pairs in nuclear physics or two triads in the I Ching. If you write two triads, you have a hexagram. And you say, well, that's just coincidence. And the answer to that is that's exactly right. That's the nature of coincidence. And it's coincidence that there are 64 hexagrams and that there are 64 phases of DNA. Not they match perfectly. Coincidences. Indeed. Next paragraph, please. By 1984, experimenters had not only found convincing evidence for gluons, but also for the elusive W's and Z. The W positive and the W negative by 1984. Moreover, they had caught the first signs of a sixth type of quark, the top, required by the standard model to complete the pattern of six quarks and six leptons. So only, 5 years ago? Just 5 years ago, consciousness was able to resolve. There must be six. If we're working on the right path, then there should be six. And lo and behold, that's right, there's the sixth. And what happens then? Lo and behold, when you have the six, when you have the three pairs, the trigonometric functioning begins to occur. The spherically of this view of the real begins to obtain. Consciousness is now able to be shaped by that crystal of that understanding for the first time ever. The flow of consciousness charges this trigonometric sphere And life as an energy lasers through the mind that holds that crystal. That's a long way from buying a piece of rose quartz. Excuse me. But I want you to know that there is a tremendous leap in capacity beyond the amulet. To have the fullness of the mind, one has a talisman which reaches to the real. Next, from 1974 to 1984, experimenters continued to use bubble chambers and counter-experiments just as in the previous decades. But most of the major discoveries and the images in this chapter came from electronic detectors set up in a new configuration in a, quote, barrel, unquote, surrounding the site of a head-on clash between two particle beams traveling in opposite directions. What is the shape, two particle beams traveling in opposite directions? What's the shape of the particle beams that are being generated? They go in a circle. Two particle beams traveling in opposite directions is the double circle. It's the same symbolic process as what we're doing here in our Saturday educational program. We're making a double circle. We're bringing two beams of attention together. We're bringing the integration beam into direct clash with the differentiation beam. The integration beam, which carries the wholeness of the deep self, and the differentiation beam, which carries the wholeness of the cosmos. No explosion. The explosion happens because the instruments of nuclear physicists are very primitive. Excuse me, it's all very primitive. They have to destroy things in order to see what they're made out of. Life makes things in order to disclose what they are made of. Creation happens. Creation happens. Final paragraph, and then we'll skip over the paragraph on the collider. We don't need to go into that. The last paragraph, then. During the time from the first experiments at SPEAR, which is an anagram for a collider, to the successes at CERN, which is the most recent of these colliders, during the time from the first experiments to the last, most recent successes, the electronic detectors used at colliders became increasingly sophisticated. Not only the particle beams, but the detectors. Not only the very, very small, and incidentally the very, very large, but the observers became much more refined, much more attentive to what am I now doing? And when a human being asks that of themselves quite seriously, there is always the spiritual intuition that answers. When there's a cry for the vision is there. But you have to make the cry for real. You have to put the hands together really in prayer and really send a voice. And then the vision is there. And the observers have been maturing the same rate that the instrumentation has been maturing. And the observers now are right at that edge where they can hear the answer to their question, not just, what am I now doing? Who am I when I am doing this? The answer is in the Svitasvatara Upanishad. Tat avam asi. Thou art that. Go and be free. Last sentence. Moreover, computers can translate the signals from the detectors into colorful images of the particle tracks, which can be manipulated in a variety of useful ways. Back to the beginning of that sentence. Moreover, computers can translate. What kind of computers? Computers built on silicon microchips that are dead. What happens when you have computers that are affine to life processes? What happens when you have computers that in their structural nature see and hear just like we do? Then the instrumentation no longer gets in the way of translation. You get the poetry straight. You get the poetry of Mother Nature straight. I'm going to end with an arcane image. Athena, gray-eyed, and looking straight into the horizon of your being, blows a kiss into your opened jaw that's saying, oh. Let's come back next week more. Bring these pamphlets, please.